Good afternoon. Welcome in to another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM, FM 95.9, and also myklgr.com. We will talk some Timberwolves basketball today with Dave Benz of Fox Sports North, talking about that unbelievable win for the Timberwolves over the Cleveland Cavaliers on Monday night. We've also got the Purple Pillage podcast today, and a trade in Major League Baseball that was, then wasn't. And now where are we sitting? We'll try to find out. Plus some big changes coming for a team that has been to the last handful of Super Bowls. Some big changes coming for that NFC team. We'll talk about that coming up as well. So a lot to get to here today. Why don't we get right to it by taking a look at our top sports headlines here today. Let's take a look at our top sports headlines for Wednesday, January 10th. The Houston Astros traded for an ace. They apparently, as of this morning, had landed Pittsburgh Pirates right-handed pitcher Gerrit Cole. However, things have backed off slightly, and it now appears as though the trade is a possibility, but not really as close as it was made out to be earlier today. But nonetheless, shows that the Astros are really serious about defending their World Series crown. And we'll talk about what that would do for this Houston team a little bit later on today. After a disappointing season, the Seattle Seahawks have been making some changes. And that includes dismissing former Vikings offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel. They've also told their defensive coordinator if another job comes along, he can pursue it. So sounds like the Saints are trying to shake things up a little bit after a disappointing season by their standards this past year. Minnesota Timberwolves coming off of their biggest win of the season. They will be taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Timberwolves trying to win 3 out of 4 against the Thunder this year and take the season series, which would potentially come in huge later on in the year when the playoff seedings get underway. So we'll see if the Wolves can get to 27-16 on the season later tonight. Minnesota Wild in action last night, and they came up just a little bit short as they were upended in overtime. Final score of that game last night was 3-2. Calgary with the win over the Wild in overtime last night. So the Wild will try to get back on track in their next game. And the Minnesota Twins add another former player to their front office with Justin Morneau, set to officially retire and join the Twins front office in an advisory role. So we've seen this with a handful of former Twins, and we'll see if maybe some more are brought in as well later in the next couple of years. So that is a check of your top sports headlines here for today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk Timberwolves basketball with Dave Benz. That's on the way after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Your home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
And we're joined now by the TV voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Dave Benz. Dave, thanks for joining me.
No problem. Good morning.
Well, I want to start off with what I'm sure a lot of Timberwolves fans watched on Monday, even with the national championship game, the Timberwolves hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. And wow, 127-99, the final. Wolves led by as many as 41 points in this game. And David had a playoff feel to it for sure. What happened during the game that led to such a big win for the Wolves?
I mean, the team just really clicked on all cylinders on every possible facet of the game that you could think of. Defensively, they were fantastic. Rebounding the basketball, they were fantastic. Passing the basketball and finding open teammates, they were fantastic. Knocking down shots, they were fantastic. I mean, there really wasn't very much to find fault with in that game. It was just one of those rare nights where just the stars collided, and especially that first half. I mean, the first half was just, it was about as good an exhibition of basketball as I think I have seen any team really put on in this league in the time that I've been calling these games. And certainly, you know, the best performance I've seen out of the Timberwolves by far. And Ryan Saunders in the halftime interview kind of came out and said the same thing to Marty Gellner, that, you know, it was one of the best halves of basketball he'd ever seen. So when you see everything go the way that it's supposed to go, it really is amazing. You know, obviously you're not going to get very many nights like that. I mean, some nights you're going to be able to play good defense, but the shots aren't going to fall. Or, you know, you're going to try to find the open teammate, and for whatever reason you're going to end up getting turnovers. Or, you know, something's going to work against you. But there was just nothing was working against them. Everything was working for them. It was really impressive to watch, and it was you know, not a performance that I'll forget anytime soon, that's for sure.
We've seen this Timberwolves team really crank it up defensively. I think they're on now six straight games in which they've held opponents to under 100 points. And it just seems like everybody is starting to kind of pick it up defensively. What have been some of the things that have led to this turnaround over the last handful of games?
I think the simplest thing is that guys now are just really putting in the effort on the defensive end. I think that, I don't want to say that they weren't putting in the effort early in the year, but I think that it was a lot slower to develop because nobody really goes out to play basketball hoping that they're going to be able to be a lockdown defender. Everybody wants to score, and they want to get dunks, and they want to make three-pointers, and you know, that's just natural tendency for anybody that plays basketball at any level. So to get guys to really put as much energy in on the defensive end on a consistent basis, that's a difficult thing to do. But I just think that the cohesion that this team is starting to show and the fact that they now know each other and they've integrated the new pieces in with Jimmy and with Taj and, you know, with Jeff, who unfortunately is still out for another little bit here, but they really now kind of know each other. They know where they need to be defensively. They're communicating much better. It's a remarkable thing. And I think that now that they've seen that they can have success by playing consistent defense, that it has just kind of energized them even more. So it's just been something that's been a snowball that's been starting to gather momentum. And, you know, bottom line is Tibbs has been preaching since day one that if they play good defense, that they're going to win games, they're going to be a good team. And, you know, it took a while for the players to actually see that that really is the best way to go. And I, like I said, I just think the bottom line is that they're much more focused. They're bringing much more energy and much more consistency to that end of the floor.
Dave, we've seen Tyus Jones, or as LeBron James called him, Tyler Jones, play some very good basketball since Jeff Teague went down with injury. And he seems like he's got a lot of confidence out on the court. How much development have we seen from Tyus when he has been put into the starting lineup?
Tyus has been a revelation, really. I think everybody knew that Tyus had this in him. I think everybody knew that Tyus was certainly a quality rotation player in the NBA. I think Tyus is starting to show people that, hey, he can be a starter in this league, and he can lead a team, and he can play consistent heavy minutes. And I think it's just been really fun to watch. And the thing that's been amazing these last couple of games, he's played so well, but he hasn't really been hitting a lot of his outside shots. And he was doing that more consistently earlier in the year. So he's doing it in spite of that. And I think the outside shooting is going to come back because he's consistently over his career been a good outside shooter. But to watch him run that offense and more impressively in my mind, to watch him sniff out steals, he always seems to be in the right place. He seems to pick people's pocket, you know, so easily. He's got great anticipation. It's just a skill set that you really can't teach, and he makes up for the fact that he is a little bit undersized by being a smart and savvy guard who's in the right position and knows when to gamble. We saw it a lot over the last couple of years with Ricky Rubio that he would get a lot of steals, but he would gamble, it would seem a lot more, and when he would gamble and miss, it ended up hurting the team. You don't really see Tyus gamble and miss very often. When Tyus gambles, most times he comes up with the basketball. And that's just a really, you know, uncanny sense to be able to know when to do it. It's just really, I mean, you look at the way that he's been playing and you wonder, can you keep him on the bench when Jeff Teague comes back? And Jeff Teague is, there's no question, an unbelievable point guard and deserves to be in the starting lineup. But Tom Thibodeau is going to have some questions to kind of answer once Teague is back and healthy, because Tyus has been that good.
Dave, a big matchup coming up tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and a chance for the Timberwolves to really solidify their spot in the Western Conference standings. Oklahoma City's been playing much better as of late. Give us a scouting report for tonight's game.
Well, first of all, you got OKC in the back of a back-to-back. They played last night against Portland. They lost that game. And you're right, they did play much better in the month of December, but they've struggled a little bit here in the month of January. And I want to say they're just 2-4 their last six. I'm not exactly sure about the number. I read it briefly last night. But I know that, you know, they have stumbled a little bit during the month of January. And the Timberwolves, it's been a good matchup for them. And they really have played well in the three games against OKC. They won two of the first three. And I think you're going to see another really focused performance tonight by Minnesota, because in a lot of ways, the Cavs game was great, but this game in my mind is more important than the Cavs game, because ultimately I think OKC is going to be a team that the Timberwolves are going to have to worry about when it comes down to playoff seeding. And the Timberwolves have a nice little advantage on them right now in the standings. I believe three games up in the loss column. You got a chance to put them four down in the loss column when they'll win tonight. But more importantly than that, even in my mind, if they win tonight, they'll have taken three out of the four in the season series, and that will give them the tiebreaker, you know, should OKC catch them in the standings and they finish in a tie. So, you know, you can kind of hand OKC a double whammy tonight with a win by putting them yet another game behind you and, you know, putting that tiebreaker in your pocket. So this is a really big game tonight for the team. I think they're going to be really focused again tonight.
Dave, looking at what Andrew Wiggins has done so far in the month of January, after a struggle throughout the month of December, it seems like he has gotten his confidence back in his shot, and he had a strong game against the Cavaliers. But really, other than the game against the Celtics, he has really turned it on so far in the month of January.
Well, I think the thing that really has been most impressive about Andrew is he's impacted the game in other ways besides scoring as well. He's been one of the guys, you know, you asked me earlier about the defense. I mean, you know, Cat and Towns are the two guys really that have been the biggest turnaround. And Towns with the blocks, you really kind of notice that much more than maybe notice what Andrew's doing. But Andrew has been coming up with a lot of 50-50 balls. He's been getting a lot of deflections. He's contesting shots. He's coming up with rebounds. So, yeah, and I think that the offense has followed. He did go through that offensive swoon And the thing that Tibbs has been preaching from day one is you can impact the game in other ways besides just scoring. And if your shot isn't falling, you can still be out there getting deflections and contesting shots and getting rebounds and coming up with steals and, you know, getting 50-50 balls. And for whatever reason, Andrew was slow to the party in getting to that. But of late, Andrew has really picked it up on that end of the floor. And because he's had that energy, it's created good opportunities for the team. It's created good opportunities for him in terms of easy scoring opportunities in transition. And, you know, once you get it going that way, you get an easy bucket here or there, then all of a sudden it makes it easier to start knocking down those mid-range shots and knocking down some of those three-point shots. So I just think the game overall for Andrew has picked up. And you know, like I said, it's been one of the biggest reasons why this team has played at such a high level this last couple of games, especially, you know, in the performance on Monday.
Taking a look at the Western Conference overall, Dave, we've seen James Harden lost for the next few weeks with an injury for the Rockets, although they still have been, they've been able to play sort of well since he went down. But now we see Kawhi Leonard dealing with a shoulder injury as well. And I know the team will tell you that they're just focused one day at a time. But what's the sense that the Wolves feel like this is an opportunity for them to really jump up and grab hold of and maybe pass the Spurs for that three seed in the West?
You know, I don't know that really there's a lot of conversation about that going on. I think the bottom line is that the Timberwolves are just kind of trying to collect as many wins as they can and let the chips fall where they may. And I know that kind of sounds a little bit cliche, and the fans want to think, oh, yeah, they're really focused on, you know, trying to move up even further in the standings. Of course they want to move up as high as they can get in the standings. But the bottom line is you're not going to do that by worrying about where you are in the standings. You're going to worry about it by, you're going to do that by worrying about winning games night in and night out. And whoever has the most at the end is going to get the one seed and, you know, on down to eight. So this team, they're just focused day to day trying to win games. You know, for fans, it is fun. I mean, I can, you know, admit when Kawhi, the news of his shoulder came down, I kind of thought to myself, well, you know, why couldn't the Timberwolves catch the Spurs? And, you know, the Rockets have dealt with their, you know, little series of injuries here and there. So you think to yourself, well, why can't they catch the Rockets? But we're talking about a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in 13 years. So I'd be happy with the 8 seed, to be totally honest with you. I mean, as long as this team finishes in the top 8, then it's a very good year. They certainly should finish much higher than that. Finishing in the top 5, really, to me, is, at the end of the day, where you need to be. Because you finish in the top 5, you get that 4-5 series in the first round, and you've got a really good chance to win a first-round series. You finish 6, 7, or 8, you know, then you are looking at the Spurs, the Warriors, or the Rockets in the first round, and you know, that's clearly going to make it really tough to win a first-round playoff series. And as good as this Timberwolves team has played, we all know once you get to the playoffs, it's a whole other animal. And especially when you're matched up against a veteran playoff team that knows what it's like to win in the postseason. So they want to get as high as they can in the standings and get as favorable a matchup as they can in that first round. But at the end of the day, bottom line is just you got to just focus on the next game ahead and get that one in the win column, and you know you'll see where things are at the end of the season, where you're slotted.
Talking to Dave Benz, the TV voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves for Fox Sports North. And Dave, looks like Lindsey Whalen will be back amongst the coverage here. What's it been like having her get a couple of games in with you guys?
Lindsey's great. I mean, she knows so much about basketball that it's a little bit humbling, actually, to work with her, because you talk about one of the all-time great players, not just in the women's game, but one of the all-time great players of the state of Minnesota, period. And she's won at every level, collegiately, professionally, internationally, with great Olympic experience. So and she brings an interesting perspective. You know, Jim and I, we always joke that sometimes we're like an old married couple. We spend so much time together, and Jim's become a very good friend. And, you know, sometimes some of that bleeds onto the air. So putting another voice in there is sometimes a little bit of a welcome thing to break that up between Jim and I, and, you know, give us a different voice. And so we've had a lot of fun with Lindsay, and we'll look forward to being with her again tonight.
Outstanding. Well, Dave, thanks for joining us here today to talk about the Timberwolves' recent success, and we'll hope that that continues. Enjoy the game tonight. I'm sure all of Timberwolves Nation will be watching to see if the Timberwolves can beat the Thunder, and we'll catch up with you a little bit later on down the road after hopefully many more wins.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Back here on The Scoop, and Houston Astros maybe made a big trade, but hard to really tell. It seemed like earlier this morning it was a done deal that Gerrit Cole was going to the Houston Astros in a move that would have greatly bolstered their starting rotation and given them a great chance of defending their World Series championship. But now it seems like the deal has not completely fallen through, but is not as far along as was reported. So I guess we'll have to just wait and see how this plays out. Gerrit Cole last year went 12-12 for the Pittsburgh Pirates. 33 starts, 203 innings. He had 196 strikeouts and 55 walks. He did give up 31 home runs, which going to the home of the Astros, Minute Maid Park, that could be problematic for him. But Cole on the road, 9-7, and allowed 20 of those 31 home runs. But after the All-Star break, he was a little bit better with a 4.06 ERA in 95 and a third inning. So, obviously, it would be a big get for Houston if they are able to pick him up. But what this also does, it has a ripple effect, is Houston is rumored to be going after Yu Darvish pretty substantially. So if they get Gerrit Cole, then safe to assume that they're out on Yu Darvish, which then lowers the list of suitors for Yu Darvish by one. And with the amount of teams that have been in on Darvish where they're at now, it seems like the Twins are one of the last teams standing for Darvish, who certainly appears to be more willing to wait to sign a deal than some of these other pitchers or position players have been, although the offseason in general has been extremely quiet. Shohei Ohtani, pretty much the biggest move of the offseason. There have been some other smaller signings as well, but a lot of top free agents still left on the board, and they don't show any signs of getting deals put together here anytime soon. So we could be looking at a process that goes into February with teams signing players just before spring training. That also is a little bit indicative of the market as well, with teams more likely to go with young players as opposed to high-priced free agents. So a lot of factors that can lead to this lack of free agent activity so far here in the offseason. But we'll see if this trade gets done between the Astros and the Pirates would obviously involve some pretty high-level prospects from the Houston side of things if they do end up going that route. But we'll wait and see. And if it does happen, we'll pass it along here on The Scoop. Want to get to a couple of our other top sports headlines here today. And we'll take a look at what's coming up on the show tomorrow as well. We've got a couple of interesting guests lined up for tomorrow's show. But interesting to see what's going on in Seattle with the Seahawks having missed the playoffs. It looks like they are going through a little bit of a reorganization. Daryl Bevel has officially been let go as offensive coordinator of the Seahawks. He was offensive coordinator for 7 years for Seattle. Seattle was 15th in total offense and 11th in scoring, but in December they ran into some pretty big trouble with some things, in particular that loss to the Rams where they lost 42-7. That not all the problem of the offense, more of a problem on defense, but nonetheless led to Doug Baldwin saying this: it's not play calling. It's not play calling. We go into a game knowing what the defense is going to give us, the situations that we're going to be in. We don't execute as a team. Offensively, that's what we've seen time and time again, is that we do not execute the way we should, and that's on us as players. You guys can blame Bev all you want to, but the truth of the matter is that Bev's not the problem. And, well, this is what happens when you have an offensive line that does not play well. And that was their biggest problem the entire season, was just a bad offensive line. And so it will, looks like it actually has led to another change just coming through. The Seahawks have fired offensive line coach Tom Cable. Cable, one of the more respected offensive line coaches in the NFL, so he will get a job somewhere, but the fact of the matter is Seattle's offensive line was very bad. So this is going to be similar to what happened in Green Bay, where the Seahawks shake up the coaching staff a little bit, but they stick with Pete Carroll. And obviously, with a coach of the caliber of Pete Carroll, he's got plenty of equity in Seattle to survive a 9-7 season. But that's where shaking up the coordinators helps in that regard. Now, in terms of potential replacements, really haven't heard where Seattle will go. But Seattle is at a very interesting point in their franchise. They're starting to have some issues with injuries to players on that defense. That core of the defense is getting a little older. And they've got a lot of money invested in Russell Wilson and that defense, but not a lot put in on the offensive side of the ball. They've got Doug Baldwin locked up. Jimmy Graham is a free agent. They may lose him. So for Seattle, they're going to have to make some tough choices. Do they continue to try to build a defensive identity with what the Rams have done on their offense, or do they try to give Russell Wilson the pieces that he needs to become a great offensive team? It's really going to be an interesting offseason to see how they handle it, because I could really see them going either way. Russell Wilson is good enough athletically to make a lot of plays, but that's not a spot I would want to be in if I were the Seahawks. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. And one other headline that is making news in the football world that we didn't touch on at the top of the show. The Carolina Panthers interviewing former Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner for their vacant offensive coordinator position, after they got rid of Mike Shula. That, I don't think, would be a good fit, because you look at what Norv tried to do when he was here. We We had Adrian Peterson, so it was a run-first offense. Panthers are going to probably be in a spot where they move on from Jonathan Stewart. So then their best running back is not necessarily a bulk carries guy in Christian McCaffrey. He is very good at making plays in space. So then how does that offense work if you don't have that bell cow running back, that Adrian Peterson type running back? And what happens then to Cam Newton? Does he become more of a running quarterback than a passing quarterback? I don't know what would happen there. The Panthers were at their best when they were confusing teams on offense, and they had multiple looks where maybe they were doing the read option, or Cam was running the football and completing quick passes. So I don't know if Norv's system is necessarily conducive to that. So that would be, I think, an interesting choice if they decide to go that route. But that just, again, shows you that if you have a premier offensive coach, you want to make sure to hang on to them. Or if you have a coordinator you like, hang on to them as long as you can, because finding replacements really is not particularly easy, especially if you are trying to get somebody to come in and fix a struggling offense. It'd be a different scenario if you are having what the Vikings might have to go through in that Pat Shurmur leaves for a head coaching job. So then you keep pretty much all the offense intact and then just promote someone else to be coordinator, as opposed to having a coordinator fired, and then you have to bring in somebody else to completely remake the offense. So a lot of interesting decisions for a lot of NFL teams, and that includes the teams that will be in the playoffs here on Saturday and Sunday. We're going to take a look at what's on deck. We also have the Purple Pillage podcast. That's all on the way after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Miss today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
This is the Purple Pillage with Neil Roberts and Lee Fockin. The Pillage starts now.
And welcome to another edition of the Purple Pillage. I'm Lee Fockin with Neil Roberts. Neil, I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another that REO Speedwagon was going to be at Four Bears Casino on January 20th. Get your tickets, fourbearscasino.com.
I've also heard that.
I also heard that the Saints are coming back to US Bank Stadium to take on the Vikings. And in your mind, this is maybe the scariest matchup, but I think it's handleable.
I agree, Leaf. If they keep playing as they've played and the defense plays really well and Case Keenum plays fairly mistake-free and they move the ball, and if, I think they'll get a win. Not all those ifs come true, as we found out with a heavily favored Kansas City Chiefs team and a heavily favored LA Ram game. Sometimes these favorites don't always play out, so you just can't show up. You have to make sure you show up and play well. And the Saints are scary. I think we both felt that if they continue to win, the Vikings that is, that they'd probably have to play them sooner or later anyway. So I guess we move them up now, and hopefully we win and maybe get Atlanta at home the following week or go to Philadelphia, which I told a buddy of mine, I know after the Saints win, that if the Vikings do go on and win the Super Bowl, we could very well look back and say the Saints game was actually our toughest game.
I guess that's a good way to look at it and think about it, especially at this point in the postseason and looking at how they've played. Speaking of how they've played, you know, Drew Brees is this amazing quarterback. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame one day. They've got some great running backs. What's going to be the thing to stop for the Vikings? I know they've got to have a lot of pressure and get to Brees. That's going to be step one. Step two, I think, is going to be stopping that run and trying to collapse that, which is going to be hard.
They're not one of those teams where you can say, okay, we want to make him run because they can run, or hey, we want to make Brees throw it because he can throw. And even guys like their third option, like Coleman, is a huge fast target, let alone Thomas and Ted Ginn Jr. So they're big and they're fast on the outside. They're powerful and fast in the backfield with Kamara and Ingram, and Kamara is really the wild card for me, I guess, that I'm fearing. He's a guy that was in sort of the three-headed monster in week one when Adrian Peterson got most of the carries, followed by Ingram, followed by Kamara. He was sort of their third option then. Now he's their first option. Close to Ingram, they're both getting a lot of reps. He's the guy that scares me. Carolina did a good job with him in a losing effort. Tells you just how many options they have. You just can't shut down one guy that you alluded to. The defense has to make adjustments throughout the game and limit the Saints on points. And the Vikes have done that extremely well this year, led by Zimmer, I believe. He makes a lot of adjustments within a game. On the offensive side, if Case Keenum can keep doing what he's been doing, I think we'll be okay. But you look at these other quarterbacks, Leaf, that have really folded. The playoffs are a different deal, man. It just gets faster, more adrenaline. When you go to these playoff games, I've been to a few of them, you can just feel it. It's a different deal. But I really think, even though Case Keenum has some experience now, but very limited playoff experience, I really feel like he's a guy that could rise to the occasion, at least minimize the mistakes, make a couple big throws for you, and get some points on the board. What do you think?
Well, speaking of that, when you look at the Saints and look at their defensive coverage on passing is 15th in the nation, what's going to have to happen is Diggs and Thielen and Keenum, of course, and then you're going to get Rudolph and Morgan. They're going to all have to be on their game and ready to catch some balls, because I think we're going to see a lot of balls in the air from the Viking.
Yeah, and one encouraging sign, I thought, watching that game last week is that Carolina did put up a lot of yards against the Saints. Mm-hmm. Even though the Saints are 15th in the league, like you say, Carolina was able to move the ball on them, especially late in the game. Hopefully the Vikings saw a couple things there that they can capitalize on, but it's not going to be easy.
Well, let's move on to our player to watch this week as we come upon the Vikings and the Saints. Rodney Carrington going to be at Four Bears Casino on February 17th. You can get your tickets, fourbearscasino.com. Player to watch, the votes were in from some of the Purple Pillage Nation, and we agreed here in the studio, Case Keenum has to start off well and continue through the game against the Saints well, just like we were mentioning, to find those wide receivers and those tight ends, make a connection. That's how the offense gets points up on the board and win.
He's the wild card against the wild card, or Saints wild card, or they win the division, I forget, but they played the wild card week. But yeah, he is the guy to watch, I think. As this has progressed too, with Teddy coming back, and everybody really applauded his effort to come back when he did, and hearing that Bradford's back in practice now and all this stuff, as a Viking fan, you really don't want to go to that option anymore. And who thought we'd be saying that in the playoffs, that gosh, we cannot have Case Keenum get hurt, you know? But I think it's kind of true that I don't think we want to see Bradford or Teddy in there in a playoff game right now. Yeah, we need Case to stay upright, keep moving, not take any big hits, make some plays, and he's definitely the key player, I think. On the New Orleans side, going back to Kamara, I'm not sure what you think, but and their defense is really fast too, but back to that running back, you just see him in certain games this year, Leaf, and like it's like no stopping the guy. He doesn't look that big, but he runs over people. He doesn't look real fast, but he just blows by people. He is something else, so you have to really keep him contained.
Players to watch this week, Case Keenum and Alvin Kamara, brought to you by Four Bears Casino and Lodge. Well, let's talk a little bit more, Neil, about the rest of the playoffs. We've got the Titans and the Patriots, Jaguars taking on the Steelers, and the Falcons-Eagles game. I'll start there. Falcons now favored by 3 points against the Eagles. That's the one that Vikings fans want to watch, because that'll be Saturday night. Titans predicted to get stomped by New England. That would be the upset of the century for me.
Yeah.
And the Steelers favored over the Jaguars, which I think will be a decent game as well.
Yep, New England about a 2-touchdown favorite, and Pittsburgh about a touchdown favorite. The Jaguars, I'll tell you what, if their defense shows up like they have a lot, on a couple of those games late in the year, their defense did not show up as well. Boy, Jalen Ramsey and some of those guys, they are so unbelievable. Put him on Tony Brown is hard to neutralize, but I think a guy like Ramsey can, and they have a lot of guys on that defense that can move, put pressure on Roethlisberger. So that would not shock me if the Jags went in there and won. Bortles played a horrible game and they still won. I think the Jags have a shot, and yeah, a lot of things would happen to go well for Tennessee, but anything can happen. Mariota finished really strong in that game, and their defense came alive. If they have some carry over there, New England is so tough.
Pittsburgh and Minnesota are similar in a lot of ways, as after battling a lot of injuries and things, they finally kind of make their way to the top, and so that's going to be fun to watch on the AFC side. But the Vikings are favored by 4 points right now over the Saints. That's what's important, I guess, as Vikings fans, is to know that the Vikings have a pretty good shot, at least in the odds. We're going to have to watch the game on Sunday to see what happens.
Yeah, better to be a home favorite than a road underdog any day of the week. I think the Vikings have, again, a real good shot to win this thing. I mean, I'm all in. I really think they have a good shot to win the whole thing. They could be destroyed as we're talking next week. I don't know. I wouldn't want to play us either. I really don't want to play the Saints as well, but given the situation at hand, yeah, I really think the Vikings have a good shot to win this thing. Again, they have to play a really good game.
You heard it here first, folks. Neil Roberts is all in on the Vikings, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Purple Pillage, brought to you by Four Bears Casino and Lodge, located 4 miles west of Newtown, North Dakota. For Neil Roberts, I'm Leif Bakken, and until next time, Pillage on!
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Is radio you can depend on for sports and play-by-play.
Let's take a look at what's on deck here for tonight. Starting off in the NBA, Dallas at Charlotte at 6 o'clock, Miami at Indiana at 6 o'clock, Utah is at Washington at 6 o'clock, Detroit at Brooklyn at 6:30, Chicago at the New York Knicks at 6:30, Portland at Houston at 7, New Orleans at Memphis at 7, Orlando at Milwaukee at 7 o'clock, Oklahoma City at the Minnesota Timberwolves at 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Atlanta at Denver at 8 o'clock. The Los Angeles Clippers at Golden State. That's at 9:30. NHL games for this evening. Ottawa at Toronto at 7:30 Eastern. Minnesota Wild at Chicago at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight. And Big Ten men's basketball. Rutgers at number 4, Michigan State. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. Minnesota at Northwestern at 8 o'clock tonight as well. That is a look at what's on deck here for tonight. It is time for us to wrap it up. That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. Big thank you to Dave Benz for joining the show today. Coming up tomorrow, we've got Daniel House of GopherHole.com to talk about all the latest with the Gopher basketball team. And we'll be joined by Robert Zaglinski of the Rock River Times talking a little Chicago Bears football. So that's all coming up on tomorrow's show. Have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow at 3:05.